Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Over a century ago, the first gauntlets were thrown down. Men fought for pride and glory. Blood was spilt. Reputations were carved from sweat. The battles have continued for decades. An eternal struggle with a thirst for victory always. And to think, this is all over a little ball shaped like an egg. Welcome back. You've never heard the footy like it. This is Triple M Footy.
Yeah, good day, everybody. Just a couple of hours before kickoff, Peter Sterling will join us at 2:30. Titans and the Panthers. The Panthers have been the big news all week. Anthony Griffin, that saga that has unfolded across the week, he has been removed as coach. We went into some detail in the first hour. Josh Reynolds is with us, obviously, as well. If you missed any of the show in the past hour, you can listen to the catch-up podcast exclusively through the Triple M NRL app, and there's plenty there to sink your teeth in. We will continue to do that across the next couple of hours. Sterlo will have his say. It is a Women in League round. We'll chat pretty shortly to Sammy Bremner from the Dragons. The other story, of course, that jumped up during the week was the announcement of the retirement of the great Billy Slater.
We've seen many great fullbacks over the years. Billy Slater is fast approaching the great heights of all those fullbacks.
The winner of the 2011 Dally M medal is Billy Slater from the Melbourne Storm.
There is it, Billy. He's fended it away from William. He sent a kick for Slater. Can he make it? Yes, he can. Billy the Kid. He has scored another classic Origin try.
But here's Jonathan Thurston, and they're already threatening here. The ball side, and Billy Slater is loving this World Cup final.
And the crowd got it away to Slater. Slater, he's over Billy the Kid.
8 metres away from the line. They swing left, dummy from Slater. And the number one has got the first try tonight. What a player. Slater falls over the referee and has still scored. Later sets it up. Slater beats 1-2-3 time, boys.
Darren Lockyer, he kicks. Slater's picked it up. Aussie onside. Slater down the ground. He kicks again. He'll get there. He's over. Billy Slater. He has scored one of the great Origin players.
I've seen a lot of great fullbacks, but the one who takes the mantle is Billy Slater.
Just some of the highlights of a pretty amazing career. Perhaps Warren going there as well. Sensational. I thought we were going to be talking about the retirement announcement of Jason Nightingale, but it turns out it is Billy Slater. What a great player. Josh, you, of course, would have had the pleasure stroke horror of playing against him.
Yeah, definitely. Even just listening to those, you know, highlights, or only listening to them, not even seeing them, but you just know what they're going to be. And, yeah, he's definitely, for me, been the best pullback I've ever seen. He's just... he's unbelievable. And talking to guys that actually have played with him, like I do 360, we loop through the week, and he says it's more the fact, it's like having another halfback out there, or another sort of half to sort of just get that defensive line in check, and then obviously just his raw ability to break a game apart. And it's sad for the game because he adds so much spark. And, you know, that there was 2 years there where he didn't even play footy, and to come back and what he's doing now is pretty unreal.
Yeah. Before I get your take on Billy Slater and what he achieved, let's just have a little bit of a listen to some of what he had to say at the press conference.
For 16 years, I've had the pleasure to play in the NRL. However, this will be my last. I feel so very lucky to have had the career I've had. I am proud to have helped in the development of this club, of the part that I've played in the growth of rugby league in this state. To my wife, Nicole, you've given me unconditional love and support, and although sitting up here and delivering this message today is extremely scary, knowing that I have you makes it comforting. Lastly, I'd just like to thank the game of rugby league. It gave me heroes when I was a boy and a chance to become one myself. I am forever in debt to our game.
And
thank you.
He is all that, an absolute out-and-out hero. And he's done it in terms of the timing. He's still playing great footy. He could have gone around again next year, but he doesn't want to be in a position, as you said, Josh Reynolds, the shoulder that kept him out of football. He does want to go, I think, as he used it, with the tank empty. He wants to go with still some petrol in it.
Yeah, he's just a champion, and it's a mark of a champion. I just love the story of Billy Slater, Tony. I remember being a young reporter, being at Suncorp Stadium when he orchestrated that chip and chase try, and it was one of those moments where the hairs stand up on the back of your neck and you genuinely know that you are not only watching something very special, but something that is going to be talked about in history for many, many years to come. But I love the fact that Billy Slater is a kid from Innisfail in country Queensland. He's a young bloke. He's playing rugby league. His old man was a pretty tough man and a hard worker. He decides that he's going to hitch a ride in a banana truck down to Sydney to trial for a job at Gay Waterhouse Stable. He thought that he had the job, but he didn't actually have it yet. He gets there and they say, yeah, okay, son, all right, you can go and clean out the stables. He stays there for a period of time. Then he goes back to Brisbane. He's in the Brisbane North competition, meets Cameron Smith, meets Cooper Cronk, and goes on to become one of the greatest players of all time. He'll be in the conversation when they decide that they want to talk about the Immortals again.
I was fortunate enough to play with and against Darren Lockyer, and he sort of revolutionised the fullback position, where he was kind of that guy that was just able to just come in seamlessly into a back line and create numbers and really challenged you defensively. Awful playing the Broncos. And I think Billy, obviously, when he went there, he sort of took that to another level. And no disrespect to Lockie, but the game obviously evolved. And I think Billy was the first fullback to really come in and was never a big guy. And so the game also changed, I think, while Billy's been in the game, to the point where fullbacks now, a lot of tough carries coming out of trouble. Back in the day, the fullback used to just go up, catch the ball and play the football. Then the forwards would come back, and the outside backs didn't do a lot of that work, Thank God. But but Billy's been able to sort of transition through that, which just shows you, how resilient he is, how tough he is, how competitive he is. And he's just one of those characters in our game that's kind of just achieved everything. And I think the best thing you can say about Billy would be that from 2005, after a couple of years when he became a regular in the Origin side and for the Australian side, to 2018, every fullback, every kid that was a fullback coming through the juniors wanted to be Billy Slater.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's, what more can you say about a guy?
Not only that, Gerds, but he's changed the way that fullbacks play the game. Billy Slater, you look at all the generation of fullbacks that are coming through now, as you just touched on, they've all modelled their game on him. But when Billy first came in, it was speed, it was blistering acceleration off the mark, it was his ability to change direction on a 10-cent piece. And then all of a sudden, as he developed and matured as a player, he developed a passing game on both sides. Now, his communication, I'll never forget walking into Kangaroos training when Billy was the out-and-out first pick number one, and it was really, really clear just his role in the side and how important he was, because he was the conductor. He was absolutely running the show in terms of defence, organisation, all those sorts of little aspects of the game. So he's just a champion, Tony.
Yeah, he does have the opportunity now alongside his team for him to go out with what all those players love, would be a premiership for the Storm. Let's see if we can make that happen over the next couple of months. Billy Slater announcing his retirement. Saturday Triple M NRL. What does the Fox say is next? Triple M just rocking the footy. We do it thanks to Iveco. Visit your local Iveco dealer to check out the special edition 888 race engineering inspired daily light truck. We just spoke about Billy Slater and his retirement announcement. I wasn't joking. I should send a shout out to Jason Nightingale, who also this week announced his retirement. He's
fantastic,
been a great servant for the Dragons. Played over 30 tests for New Zealand as well. Just a great footy player. So he'll be finishing up at the end of the season. Before we get to what does the Fox say, Josh Reynolds, given what's going on with the Tigers now, I guess a bit more security knowing that Ivan is going to be there. What is the vibe in terms of the finals? Mathematically, it's still there. What's the feeling in the club?
Yeah, there's definitely still a drive there. Just being around the boys on the paddock, but just being around them at training and stuff, it's pretty much the mentality of let's just keep winning, and the rest will sort of take care of itself. We probably not in the best position. Like, we'd love to, be one game out of the eight or whatever. But yeah, I think tomorrow's a big game for the boys.
Yeah.
There's been a few guys there that have been pretty much towed up by Canberra the last few times they've been there, and it does mean something to them. So I'm really excited to see the boys come out tomorrow. It'd be massive if we could go down there and beat Canberra in Canberra. It'd be a massive boost for the boys.
You know, he's had a fantastic season for the Tigers, Luke Brooks, and he showed it again in relation to his maturity. There's been a lot of discussion around about Nathan probably for the last month now, potentially coming over and playing underneath his father. And last week, he was the difference in against the Knights. He had a phenomenal game. And it all sort of came to a head, didn't it, last week, where, you know, potentially Nathan was going to, you know, decide his future at the end of the year. Looks like he's going to play for his dad. And Gus came out and said that I'm going to let him walk if he wants to. If I'm a halfback at the club that potentially that's going to happen to, that affects my preparation for a game. He went up there last week, Josh, and he was just outstanding.
Yeah, Gerds, I've thought about this before. I'm thinking to myself, if I'm a young, you know, a young halfback like Brooksy, and Ivan's at the club, and you know, he said that, you know, he'd like to coach his son at some stage. Like, honestly, my head would be falling off.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, if I was Luke's age, and but mate, he's so professional, and he just goes about his footy. And as you said, mate, he's honestly been up there with our best player this year. I think his game's just gone to a whole new level because he's taken the line on so much.
Yeah.
Playing against Brooks, you know he's got the silky skills and whatsoever, but his running game has honestly gone to a new level this year, and you've got to take your hat off to him, as you said. Like, with all this, you know, speculation going on,
he'll get a club.
He's never been drawn from it.
You know, if Nathan does come over at some point, he's especially in the form that he's in, the development of him over the last couple of seasons, there'll be clubs out there putting their hand up to take him on. He's a good player.
Absolutely. Time now, though, for this.
Foxy, give it to me, Jimmy. Jimmy, boy, you're my boy, Jimmy. Give me the fox.
Strong,
stepping into the Wendell Saylor role there. Right.
I look forward to that every week.
Yeah, he loves it. Yeah, anyway. He loves it.
I didn't touch you quite enough.
You didn't put your hand on my hand, which I must say was a lot more comforting than when Wendell sits there and does it.
It's the pick of his contribution, really, isn't it?
He's listening, Tony. He's not well.
I mean that the nicest possible way. What's going on, Jimmy Fox?
Well, Tony, it's been all about the Panthers this week, and we were just speaking about Luke Brooks and the fact that Nathan Cleary has been linked with a shift to the West Tigers and playing under his old man Ivan. We heard from Ivan this morning. He's confirmed that for this point in time, and at this point in time, he'll be staying at the West Tigers. But the Penrith Panthers are really, really confident on the back of everything that's happened over the last 7 days, and they've been working on this for quite a long period of time. They're confident they'll be keeping Nathan Cleary. They think that they'll most likely extend him for another 4 seasons on the back of the fact that he signed for next year as well anyway. So you're looking at 2023, 2024. He's a local junior, played all his career there, a lot of his great friends there, current New South Wales State of Origin halfback. So it's a big story, and it's a big, big signature for the Penrith Panthers if they can land that.
Did you see Gerds' shoulders slump then? Because his point-scoring record now is in big danger, isn't it?
Well, Jimmy Mulaney kicks for the next couple of years, I think I might be okay.
The other one out of Penrith as well, having heard from Ivan this morning, is, well, you're still going to need a coach, aren't you? So we know Cameron Seraldo and Peter Wallace will do the caretakers' roles for the next 8 weeks. But beyond that next season, I get the feeling as though the planets are aligning for Wayne Bennett, one of the biggest personalities in the game, to be lured there by Phil Gould, another one of the biggest personalities in the game. And I think back, I remember when these two blokes were rival State of Origin coaches, there was no love lost. They did not like one another. You would see that throughout the Origin series, their body language, they rarely spoke. They'd acknowledge one another, but yeah, there was certainly a fair bit of tension between the two. But as we know in rugby league, things often twist and turn in mysterious ways, and I just get the feeling that we know Wayne, in all likelihood, won't be at the Broncos next year. He's feuding with the CEO at the moment, Paul White. I think Wayne's a good chance of being at Penrith.
He's been living in Brisbane for a long time, so it's about time he moved into a nice area. It's a step up out there in the Rith.
Where
love
would
it
you
out
recommend
there in the PM?
If you had to give Wayne a little guided real estate tour out there? Where would you take him to? Glenmore Park? Or?
Yeah, no, probably Leanne. It's a pretty nice area there. Probably some.
That's where Ivan is, isn't it?
He's up in Lino somewhere. I think probably down there on the Nepean River somewhere. You could give him a little view over the golf course. It's a lovely area.
Do you reckon he'd jump on the cables, Wayne?
Get on the cable. Is that still there, the cable water ski? I'm not sure if it is.
What at Panthers World Golf Entertainment?
Yeah, yeah. Aquagolf. Yeah, they do the Aqua Golf.
That's still out there.
Yeah, oh, Wayne would love that. And the pokies, I reckon. Doesn't Wayne love the pokies as well?
Is Reactor 1
still
out there?
No, they closed that down. No. MG just went through the whole security and no one else would want to work there.
If they're getting Wayne Bennett, obviously it's to win a premiership. Do you go with the idea that Anthony Griffin's saying that, you know, they were ready to win a premiership this year? Could you see that happening the way they were playing? Under Anthony Griffin?
No, well, no, I said that through the week, Tony. No, I thought that I thought they were struggling. And, yeah, their form warranted some sort of change. I didn't know it was going to be so dramatic. I was just hoping they came up with another way to start performing. And but we'll see what the reaction is like from the players today. They've got an opportunity to show how they feel.
Absolutely. 3 o'clock kickoff.
I think they've got a roster, Tone, that is capable of winning the competition. I don't think they could have won it with Anthony Griffin as a head coach. That's why they made this tough decision. Tone, you're Red V. And one of your players who's been really, really good over the course of the last two or three seasons, Nene McDonald, he's been injured. We expect him to make a comeback this weekend, but I'm hearing that he might be headed north. He might be headed back up to Townsville. He's originally from up in Queensland. And I'm hearing that the Cowboys are making a bit of a big play for Nene. And he could end up there.
What do you call him?
North Queensland. What did I just call him?
Nene.
I'll run with that.
You go with Nene rather than Nene.
What do you call him?
Isn't it Nene
McDonald? I'm going with Nene. What are you going with, Josh? Right.
Probably his name, yeah, Nene.
We'll go with his name.
I'll take it back, Nene.
Yeah, we'll go with his name. Nene. Okay, I like that. All right, thank you so much. What does the Fox say? Winning a league round. Yeah. Sammy Bremner will join us next on Saturday. Triple M NRL. Round 22, and it is the Women in League round. More importantly, in just, I think it's 4 weeks' time, the NRL Women's Premiership will kick off. Four sides who look terrific. Some great footy players in there. The one person we're about to interview, we saw playing in New South Wales. That State of Origin was a sensational game of footy. Of course, I'm talking about from the Dragons, the mighty Dragons, Sam Bremner. G'day, Sam.
G'day. Thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Now, I know there's been a grand final we get to talk about just gone by. This competition about to kick off. I did enjoy reading your story in Big League this week. The notion of you sitting on the couch with family watching the footy on the weekend. As a girl growing up, though, is it so important now that other kids who are in that position can watch a competition like you're about to embark on and have those sorts of role models?
Yeah, I think it's really important. Like I said in that article, I sort of watched the boys play on telly and that was normal for me. I didn't think that it was a girl's possibility to play the sport. So that was just a culture thing in my family, was to sit down and watch the footy. It was the time that I was allowed to stay up past my curfew. And I think it's awesome now that girls will be able to turn on the TV and watch women play and have something to aspire to be like.
Sam, obviously this week you've already ticked one box. You've been on the cover of the Big League magazine. How did that make you feel?
Oh, well, I was hoping for Cosmopolitan or Vogue. I've had to settle.
They'll come knocking.
You had to say both of them.
No, I'm very humbled. It was pretty cool to see, and even cooler that I got to be in my Red V jersey. And, definitely awesome to be a part of making history with Kezzy.
Dragons, got the Warriors, the Roosters and the Broncos. How are preparations going for that kickoff? The AFL has done it so well over last season, going through into it again now. How's it been going for you?
Yeah, really good. It's been really busy. I actually just got home from training then. So we've been training. This week we trained four times a week, which is really cool. I think the biggest difference I've noticed is, especially with our representative football, we train a lot by ourselves because we're all spread out all over Australia when it comes to the Gillaroos and even New South Wales and Queensland. So the best thing I've found, it's good to be so motivated going into training because you know you're training with your teammates. It makes such a difference.
Sam, just tell us a little bit about how important it is that the NRL has got behind the women's competition.
Oh, it's so important. And we didn't think that this would happen for a very long time. Like, people keep on asking me, has this always been a dream of yours? And, like, my honest answer is I actually didn't think it would happen. So it probably wasn't a dream of mine. But I'm so appreciative that they've really backed us. And I think what has helped us is, competitions like AFLW, the cricket, the Matildas, They've done so well in their sports, it's really helped ours grow.
And what about that Origin experience, North Sydney Oval, one of the most nostalgic places to play rugby league? And have you noticed that on the back of that, with such a big TV audience and a big, I think there was a decent crowd there too on the night, that the game, the promotion of the game has just gone from strength to strength?
Yeah, it really has. And I think the best thing about it, it was awesome to have so much support there. It's definitely the biggest crowd we've ever played in front of. When I first started playing footy, this is no word of a lie, I reckon we had about 50 people watching our game, and I don't even know what the oval was called, and we got changed behind a change room that was locked up and we couldn't get let in. So there was a massive difference in the support, which really helps and really makes it feel like Origin when you can hear everyone chanting out New South Wales in the crowd, and really cool to be a part of.
And is the kind of the theory that the Dragons, the male team, are working on, are you going to do the same thing, come out hard, win the first few games, then fade completely?
Oh, Tony. Just unbelievable.
Gets rock the solid. He's rock solid, he can.
These are the fans you've got to look forward to working with. Honestly.
I can't recall any talk of that game plan. But could be wrong, but not yet have I heard of that.
And what have you made of the theatre of this week with Phil Gould and with the sacking at Penrith?
Oh, I'm not too sure. I just try and stay out of that sort of stuff. I think I'm so invested in what's happening in the women's game at the moment. I'm just trying to be really optimistic in our pathway and sort of staying out of the rest.
Well, you're doing a great job. We look forward to the kickoff. I think in 4 weeks' time will be a brilliant piece of work as the NRL Women's Premiership. Sam Bremner, as always, lovely to chat with you.
Thanks for having me.
There she is. You're absolutely welcome, Sam Bremner. Just a breath of fresh
air. Awesome.
She's so sensational. Go those Dragons. We've got plenty to come on Saturday. Triple M NRL.
Hey, your headphones going there, Tony? Welcome back, Saturday Triple M NRL.
No, I can still talk.
To Tony
just for
Skoyes.
All the listeners, Tony's got Josh Reynolds, producer, or one of his minions, as he often refers to him, just fixing his headphones. Thanks, Charlie.
Well, they get tangled up there, and it was very, very uncomfortable.
How do you go around the house, Tone?
Oh, well, that's actually a bad thing to talk about at the moment because I was in a lot of trouble.
What's happened?
Well, I don't give enough effort in the house department.
Okay. In terms of?
Well, look, I have a set thing. I have to, I'm the one who has to put the dishwasher on at night. And I often forget that because it's at night.
Mm-hmm. It's tough. It's a tough thing to do, though.
Don't you reckon? Yeah. Oh. Especially you might have had, just a little sherbet. Yeah. I've got responsibilities. I have to watch another game of football, darling. I'll be here on the couch. Yeah. You know what it's like.
Priorities.
Priorities. And then, of course, the last thing when you're, cheering or you've seen a great game of footy is last night, why would I think, that's fantastic. I better go and put the dishwasher on.
You wouldn't.
It just doesn't work like that. I don't know why. Mm. Anyway.
Why don't you put it on before the game?
Damn your logic. I hate it when you beat me in an argument by saying something sensible, because it so rarely happens.
No, I'm just trying to help you out, Tony, because I know that you don't like being in the doghouse.
No, I know. Yeah.
And you're in there quite regularly. And you broke the law this week as well.
Well, back up. Well, yes, I did.
How did he break the law?
Well, he broke the law. He impersonated an officer.
What?
He went to a dress-up party dressed as... in his father's superintendent's police uniform.
Yeah, Super Nintendo.
But that's okay. But that's okay because you can go to a party like it. Mm-hmm. But after the party, if you go into KFC dressed as an officer and you start getting approached by people and you need to sort of help them out with situations, then at some point you need to let them know that you're not a real police officer. but not Tony.
I was so convincing.
He role-played.
I convinced myself. So I got into several discussions where I got quite deep into the conversation as Superintendent Merv Squires.
Have you had a couple of drinks, Superintendent?
Yeah, that was the other
Merv
thing, because Superintendent Merv doesn't drink. He's a teetotaler.
Right.
But suddenly
he
was holding court. Merv was with people.
Apparently Merv was pulling people over on you.
I got so deep, and then when you get so deep in this conversation with somebody who's her son is also in the force, and we're trying to link up with names we might know mutually, and I'm so, and this guy's looking at me and giving me a great deal of respect, which I love. It doesn't happen a great deal. So I'm there and I'm feeling powerful and I'm talking to him and thinking, look, if your son ever needs any help or anything, give me a call. And I'm so, and I can't go back now. I can't go, it's actually just a costume. I'm not really
in the police
force.
Unless
you put it out there on the air.
I still can't believe it.
No, no. Then the worst part was I accidentally stole his food
at McDonald's.
And I got in the car.
And he asked for the 50% discount that they get when they go to those places.
None of that.
Turn yourself in, mate. You've stolen from a kid.
Yeah, which just happened. He's just turned me in. My good friend Ryan Girdler. This was something that was probably not supposed
to break the law, Tony.
My father was not in any. He was also a lay preacher. So growing up, I was very nervous about breaking the law because I wasn't going to hell. I was going to jail.
Oh, you're making up for it now.
I am. Time for this, though.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up.
The Triple M NRL stock market.
Don't impersonate a police officer, kids. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You really don't. You know, get an outlandish costume. Mine was far too real. Wish I'd thought to wear the gun, though, but I didn't do that. The stock market this week. We know the big story has been the Anthony Griffin saga at the Panthers on Tuesday. He was relieved of his head coach duty. My question to you three gentlemen for the stock market is, will Anthony Griffin land another senior NRL coaching job? Ryan Girdler.
Is that a question or am I buying, selling, or holding?
We've been doing this for 3 years.
Yeah. Okay. I would have to sell at this point, Tony.
Okay.
I would have to sell. I don't think in the short term he's going to get another start. So I think he'll have next year off and then potentially maybe come in on the scene somewhere else.
Well, he's been paid for next year, isn't he? I guess
he's been paid for the next 2 years, isn't he?
It was a good collect. It was a very good collect. They reckon he got everything, actually, which is around the $1.6 million mark. He was on nearly $800,000 a year for the next two seasons. So
the Panthers have now go and find another coach and pay him as well, presumably.
Yeah.
Well, they don't do it for free.
No.
And you wouldn't.
No, certainly not. All right, Hoops, are you buying, selling? Or
no, holding? I'm selling. Yeah. I reckon Hook, I don't think anyone came out of this week with their reputation enhanced. So, yeah, I think... I reckon Hook, I'd be surprised if he gets another gig in the NRL.
Tough for you, Josh. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with the boys. I'd sell. I've never been coached by him or had nothing to do with him, so I can't really talk about the type of bloke he is.
Yep.
But I just feel he's been a bit hardly done by, and sort of people have come out and said things about him, about his coaching, that have been coached by him before, and so it probably will be hard for a club to... probably take him on board. That's just going from what other people have been saying about him.
Yep. All right, we heard at the top of this hour, Billy Slater, he announced his retirement during the week, and obviously he's been lauded as he so richly deserves. Is it such that Billy Slater enters the immortal conversation immediately in the next round, Josh?
I think yes, buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he will be. But the only thing which will be hard is who will we be up against in the likes of
Cameron Smith.
Lockie
will still be there as well.
Yeah. He's definitely in the chat 100%, but for me it's hard to go past Cam Smith or Thurston.
I'm buying as well, Josh. I think he's in the conversation for sure, but whether when it comes down to it, we know how tough it is. He'll certainly be on all the shortlists. As we touched on earlier, he changed the way that fullbacks play the game. But whether or not he can get there, that remains to be seen.
Yeah, I'll buy. I think he'll be in the conversation for sure, Tone.
All right, speaking of buying, are we buying Ben Barber's return to the NRL? He wants to leave St Helens. He's been playing great, scoring plenty of tries for St Helens. But I think he might have stated compassionate grounds, but he certainly wants to get back to Australia and back into the NRL. Obviously, 2016, celebrating after the Sharkies, there was the whole cocaine scandal, but his time has been served. Are you buying him back in the NRL?
So how old was he when they won the comp in 2016?
28.
So he's coming back, so he'll be probably 30, 31 next year?
I think he's a bit younger, actually.
Is he?
He's a bit younger than me. So, yeah, he might be only 28 now.
Okay.
Yeah, or 27 now even.
Yeah, I think, I'll buy a little bit of that. Yeah, I think there's some clubs out there. Obviously, depends on Valentine Holmes and what he's thinking. The word is that he would like to return home at some point back up to Townsville. And I know the Sharks are obviously keen to keep him. But if he does go, then that really softens the blow if they can bring Benny Barber back to the club.
Right. Okay. The bloke who fixed my headphones tells me it's 29. He is 29.
He's 29, is he? Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Hoops, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm buying. I think definitely Benny Barber. He's been electric over in the UK Super League. I think he's definitely got a contribution that he can make to the NRL. If he does come back, I think it means that, yeah, in all likelihood, Val Holmes probably goes up to the Cowboys.
Josh?
Yeah, just, I'm on board with the boys. I'm buying him. I've obviously played with Benny and can see what he can do to a team. And yeah, the most obvious one would be to the Sharks, but there'll definitely be some clubs out there. He's been watching him over there. He's honestly lighting it up. It's unbelievable. Awesome. He's coached by Justin Holbrook, who I was coached by as well, and I keep in contact with him. And he just says he's just electric.
He's got an interesting nickname, doesn't he, Justin Holbrook? What is it?
Titsy.
What is it, Ryan?
He just said it.
Okay. That's the NRL stock market for you. Look at some of the other games of footy over the weekend. Very soon we'll play some personal mastermind with Josh Reynolds. Remember, Sterlo will also join us. We're all heading towards kickoff. The Titans taking on the Panthers. That is at 3 o'clock. Big game for those Panthers after the week that they have had. You're listening to Saturday Triple M NRL for Iveco. Josh Reynolds, Tony Squires, Ryan Gurler, James Hooper with you on this Saturday afternoon. Let's have a look at that other game of footy last night. The Warriors 20, too good for the Knights 4, as the Tyre Power scoreboard tells me. Took them a little while to get underway, Gurds, the Warriors, but once they did, they looked impressive. The dancing feet of Roger Tuivasa-Sheck over the past few years.
Yep.
You know, it was there, then it was gone a little bit, but gee, just great to watch him when he goes.
Well, they're just, I really like the style in which they're playing at the moment. I mean, it was a really measured performance, I thought, last night against a side that, you know, would normally trouble the Warriors. And I think that's where everyone talks about, you know, how they've developed into a bit of a different club this year. Well, their mentality is different because, you know, we've seen years gone where they lose that sort of game. They haven't been playing well at home this year. That was only their fifth win at home, where they've won sort of 8 on the road, which tells you that they've certainly changed things around over there. But I think everyone over the last couple of weeks was a little bit concerned that they were falling away. And after pretty poor performances against Penrith, there was a real dip. Then they got towed up by the Gold Coast. But then they came out last week against your boys. And, and the Dragons had 51 tackles in their 20-metre zone.
Lots of opportunity, yep.
So defensively, you know, they weren't great. They weren't great, the Dragons, but the Warriors were really solid defensively, and they were again last night, because Newcastle always turn up with a plan. They always execute pretty well. They weren't great last night. Their energy was a little bit down. But just, I thought the way the Warriors, they didn't push their pass. They just stuck to their game plan. It was a really mature performance by them last night, and that's all they needed to do to build on the back of that great win against the Dragons the week before, and they're in good shape going into the finals. I think they're in good form.
They're a potential top four, absolutely. And if they do that, they can hurt anybody.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think when everyone thinks of the Warriors, you know, they think of Tuivasa-Sheck, Blake Green and Sean Johnson, like Isaac Lupert. I feel when the Warriors are at their best, it's when Mamalo and Fusatua are running that hard. And honestly, they're that big and strong that teams can't control them. So when they're getting their sets off to a great start, when you give Johnson and the likes of Green the chance down in red zone, they're going to come up with points. But I just feel I've watched them a few times, and they haven't really been in the game. They're wingers, but when they're in it, gee, they're hard to stop.
When they've had those, and you spoke about some of the other threats they have, but those four that you mentioned in the spine, I think when they've played together this year, they've won sort of 8 from 11. So,
yeah. 8 from 11, yeah, which is good. On the flip side, though, just quickly...
Let me just have a drink, Tony.
Yes.
She's just choking on a chip.
Yeah. On the flip side, for Newcastle, I mean, their season has been one of some promise along the way and then not delivered. Obviously, they've got more troops coming in, and they've had, you know, Mitchell Pearce out, but he's back. What do you make of where they sit as we speak?
Well, look, obviously, they're not going to feature in the finals, but I think they're building towards something. And I think that for their fans, there's certainly plenty of reason for optimism. I like the job that their coach, Nathan Brown, has done. I like the roster that he's building. I like the style that they're playing. You know, terrific recruitment, landing the signature of Kalyn Ponga and Mitchell Pearce this season. So, yeah, I like where the Knights are positioned, even though they're not going to feature in the finals.
And as well, just on that, Kalyn Ponga is going to be anything. So you can pretty much base the team around him. So you sort of, and they have got a couple of good buys in Jesse Raymond coming next year, and Piercy, he's obviously one of, I think he's one of the best halves in the game still. Yep. So they're definitely on the up as a team and a club. And like you said, you got to sort of take your hat off to Nathan Brown, because there were some tough times there. They went through a real tough period, and we played up there the other week, and gee, they got a good fan base,
don't they?
Like they've struggled for so many years, but it was Friday at 6 o'clock, and there was I'm not sure the exact crowd, but it was just a vibe, you know. Mm. And you sort of got to take your hat off to those fans who keep turning up week in, week out.
It's a footy town through and through, Newcastle. Mm. And they turn up and they support the team. They also they demand and deserve success, so they will need to over coming years to, you know, be threatening or in that eight, absolutely. But they certainly get out and support their team. Plenty to come next, so it's going to be Personal Mastermind with Josh Reynolds. Saturday, Triple M NRL. Remember, if you missed any of today's footy, you can get the catch-up podcast exclusively through the Triple M NRL app. If you've missed any of the show, the past hour, for example, you can also listen to that catch-up podcast exclusively through the Triple M NRL app. You would have heard the dulcet tones during that hour of the one, the only Mr. Josh Reynolds, who has joined us today. And it's time, Josh, for you to play a little bit of Personal Mastermind. I'm going to ask you a series of questions that are about your career in the effort to see how much you know about your own career. Nobody will be able to beat Wendell Saylor, who 110% I think he got on his Personal Mastermind. Question number one. How many tries have you scored in your NRL career?
How many years have I played? Maybe about...
Wow.
35?
Underestimating. 43. Were you just working that out by like an average? How many years?
Yeah, I know. I used to score a fair few early. Right. Now I can't buy one.
Doesn't help when you're not if you're playing.
Yeah, that's true.
Question two. Which club did you kick a winning field goal against in an elimination final in 2011?
Sorry, mate. Your Red V's.
It was the Dragons. Almost forgiven. Almost forgiven. How many games have you played for New South Wales?
There's not getting on count as one. I'd say, is it four?
It is four, correct. You were placed on report twice during the 2015 City Country match. What two incidents were you cited for, and against which players?
Well, one's got to be some sort of trip.
Attempted tripping on Tarek Sims.
That was actually more a kick. I know he hit his stomach, the poor bloke. Yeah, when I say trip, I obviously don't do it on purpose. It's just the instinct.
Of course it is.
I don't want him to score. No, and
you're just competitive. It makes
sense.
That's all you are.
Yeah.
Does it make
whatever
sense, really?
Whatever it takes sometimes.
Yeah. Mm. What about the other one?
Is that the line from the NRL? Whatever it takes.
And I've taken that on board.
He has. It was Freddie's, exactly.
That was Freddie's, yeah, that was the victory song when the boys won.
Was there another one?
Yeah, there was another one. Two incidents in that game.
Oh, maybe not featuring in the game, is that a...
No.
It
was a shoulder charge.
Oh, that's unlike me.
On David Mead. Yeah. Question number five. How many field goals do you have in your NRL career? Including the hideous one we talked about before.
Maybe around five?
Correct. Bang on. And how many followers do you have on Twitter and Instagram combined?
I honestly wouldn't have a clue. Maybe
115,000. Does that make you an influencer?
No.
115,000 people.
I think he's won.
Congratulations, Josh Reynolds. Well played. Stick around. We've got so much to get to. We're going to be joined by Peter Sterling just after 2:30, just before 2:30, I should say, to preview the Titans taking on the Panthers and see what else has captured his imagination during a pretty hectic week in rugby league.